Welcome back, WNSG and Baltimore Positive. We're back at Fadley's here, and it's been a little while since we haven't had a guy running for office or a gal running for office around here, right?
But we got a guy getting it done in Baltimore City that's going to stick around in a new capacity. Lots to talk about.
Well, you know what? It's almost like you're running for office because you've been here 5 minutes. You got paparazzi taking pictures. They're trying to eat my crab.
There is no way I'm running for office.
Well, I mean, you were downtown was part of your name.
Okay,
right?
Gotcha.
So they know you around downtown Baltimore. You're not new to things. Kirby Fowler joining us here. Is that the resume? You got a whole transitional thing going on.
That's why I submitted to the zoo so I could get the zoo job. So I had to put everything in there.
Look, man. And I dreamed this Baltimore Positive thing about a year and a half ago when Dom was running a county. And I can't think, when I think of you, you are a Baltimore Positive guy.
We
right?
try, yep.
This is
yep.
why we put things together like this.
Great. No, this is a wonderful opportunity. Thank
no,
you.
No, it's great to
and
be
I'm
going to
eat a crab cake. You guys
Kirby,
catch
there,
up.
There, is, there, we go. There is so much going on downtown. You're about to change positions. First of all, give folks, you and I chatted the other night at an event, and I didn't realize that you had sort of grown up in economic development in the O'Malley administration.
Right.
Give folks a little sense of your background, how you started your career, and then how you ended up at the Downtown Partnership.
Well, I moved here in 1991. I was in New York City, Manhattan. I was going to law school, and I was decided I wanted to go and try to clerk for a federal judge. So I interviewed for a whole bunch of different judges and happened to be Walter Black down here in the federal courthouse. And he invited me down, first time ever in Baltimore. I was age 25. And then I got the job. I moved down here, lived in Federal Hill. Loved being in Baltimore. I made a mistake for about 6 months moving to D.C. I came right back.
You didn't like that. You
no,
did not like that.
I did not. I came right back. And I got sued because I tried to get out of my lease too early. But anyway, beside the point.
It's probably because he didn't have his crab cakes.
That's right. So I came back to Baltimore and then worked at some private law firms. But then I felt like I wanted to do more for the community. And Martin O'Malley had just gotten elected mayor. And I decided I wanted to help out with economic development and neighborhood development. And so I spent a few years working with him. It was a very exciting time period. And then a few other stops along the way. And then Downtown Partnership in 2004.
So you've been there, 16 years. First of all, Kirby, before we talk about your role there and what you're proud of and what you've accomplished, what have you learned over those 16 years about Baltimore?
I've learned that people persevere. They persevere here in Baltimore. Also, Baltimore development and economic health, it's like a slow-moving turtle, but it keeps on moving forward. It really does. Maybe it moves back every now and then, but it keeps on moving forward. If I think of the way things looked in 1991, in downtown and beyond, we've made so much progress. But it just happens incrementally. It's not explosive like you saw in D.C. Or some other cities. But you could point to so many ways that from the core downtown and out and into where University of Maryland Biopark is now, and going west further and then going east to Hopkins and going north to the other Hopkins Homewood campus, it's grown and grown and grown, and it's grown slowly. So we continue to move forward. It's subtle. It's far, maybe too subtle for a lot of people. But perseverance, people really stick up for their city too. But we're also very critical at the same time. It's a weird combination. And that's why shows like this are really important, because people are so willing to be negative. But when you get down to it, they really care about a Fadley's crab cake or going to an Orioles game. That's part of their heart and their history.
Well, we've actually been impressed, and Nestor and I were talking right before you came on. You came in and actually crisscrossed with Mary Miller, who wants to be mayor. What we've been struck by is, and we keep saying to folks, big election coming up, April 16th, early vote, April 28th, election day. There are really good people who believe in this city.
Yes.
Who are running for mayor. Now, I'm going to put you right on the spot.
No, I'm not endorsing anybody.
No, I know. Wasn't even going to go there. I'm sure you're not. But here's what you
not
can
do. Not endorsing me? I'm sorry.
Here's what you can do, Kirby, I think. You've seen several mayors. You've been an observer. You worked for Mayor O'Malley. Talk about the leadership, not the person.
Yeah.
Talk about the leadership characteristics that the business community demands in the next mayor.
Well,
what do we need?
Sure, and I should add to that, we've expanded so far beyond the business community in downtown. You know, with all these residents moving in and these attractions, and we've got churches, we are so much more than just the business community now. So we feel like we have a strong standing to talk about how everyone feels in downtown. So all the stakeholders, but they all, I think, have the same desire. They want someone who's committed to the city and also some stability too. We've been through so many leaders, both in City Hall, but also at the agencies. I think 7 police commissioners over the past 12 years. There needs to be some stability, but you don't want like stability with incompetence. You know, there's got to be competence and stability. I've seen mayors who they pay attention to detail, but they don't get mired in the detail either. They will make people accountable for addressing the detail. They clean the streets and removing graffiti. Those things, a mayor has to be able to notice those things, but they can't focus all their personal effort on there. Also, I've seen mayors who have brought in a broad spectrum of people to help them. There's, as you pointed out before, a lot of people care about this city. Under Mayor Malley, he and many other people try to bring in as many people as possible to help him out. I mean, he's a very talented individual on his own, but he brought in dozens and dozens of people to be in different agencies, and you have to reach out. A lot of people are willing to take pay cuts, like I did, to come work for a mayor.
Well, you
to
need
help
an all-star team, right?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, you don't start as an all-star team, but it's people who care, and they're not afraid to make decisions too, because I think there's a lot of fear among people who work in the bureaucracy to make decisions because this is all they got. But if some people have other opportunities, you know, they're willing to make some tough decisions, and if it doesn't go well for them, they get another opportunity down the road somewhere. So expanding the support you have, good listening, that is hard to come by, but a good listener, I've seen that be very successful as well. Balance, it is so easy to get caught in this downtown versus neighborhood debate. It happens in every single city.
And it's raging now,
yeah,
right?
It's raging. Oh, it always rages.
Yeah.
And people just don't fully understand. First of all, downtown is several neighborhoods. And in fact, downtown is the fastest growing neighborhood in the entire city when it comes to residents. And so you can't say...
I live downtown.
Oh, you do? Oh, great, great.
Kirby. I lived at the Harbor Court for 17
years. Oh, fantastic. Oh, that's fantastic.
Kirby, expand. And I want you to talk more about that. We'll get out of the way and let you do it.
Yeah.
Because that does pop up whenever you read about downtown partnership. And again, we want you to go back at some point and define what it is. But it is this push and pull about focusing on downtown, focusing on neighborhoods. Couch for people or explain to people what the debate is about.
Sure, sure.
What's the debate about?
Sure, well, even though city tax yield has been going up year after year after year, we still are in a tough situation when it comes to your fiscal health, I think. But the city keeps on getting more and more money every year, but also expenses keep on going up, and most of that's going to police and fighting, crime fighting. But so there's this competition for resources, and that's always going to be there, especially in a city that has as many challenges as we do. But so you'll have that. But also, people have a misunderstanding of how the private sector, in my opinion, works. You cannot force a private sector retailer to go into a middle neighborhood they don't want to go into. And that's a shame. You can use some incentives to do that, but if they don't want to go there, they won't go there. And a government can't do anything about that. If Target doesn't want to go in a neighborhood, or we've been trying forever to get Trader Joe's to come into the city, and they, for some reason, they don't want to be in the city. They're on the outskirts. But you cannot force them. So a lot of people misunderstand what the city can or cannot do to attract retail to neighborhoods.
It's so interesting.
Private equity goes where it wants.
Well,
yeah, yeah.
And shed
incentivize a little bit. But,
shed
yeah.
some light on that, Kirby, because when you mentioned that, I remember specifically when Wegmans was expanding in Baltimore County, and we're very, very proud. I think we're the only county in Baltimore County that has 2 Wegmans. We have 1 at Hunt Valley and 1 in Owings Mills. And we wanted them to look at some other neighborhoods as well. And I think what the folks, and you're an expert in economic development, what they found when you mentioned Trader Joe's is these corporations are pretty sophisticated. They have a rubric that works. They draw a map. They begin then to crunch some numbers, and it either works for them or it doesn't work for them. Is that accurate?
That's accurate. And I think government can provide some incentives to draw them into certain neighborhoods. But at some point, the city or state or county will run out of money, and it's going to have to be just what those stores can bring in every day, and if they don't feel they can do it. But I also felt like sometimes there's, even amongst some retailers, they're not willing to take risks because that's just the nature of their business. And, you know, It'd be wonderful if they went into some of the more impoverished neighborhoods, but they won't go into it if they don't feel like they can make a dollar. And it's capitalism, you know, that drives all that.
Sure.
But getting to your other point, also, people don't understand what's happening demographically in downtown too. When I define downtown, there's two different ways. It's a 1 mile radius from Pratt and Light, so that covers where you live, Nestor. And then also it gets all the way up basically to Mount Vernon. Gets a little bit of that.
Central Avenue toward the park.
You get a little bit of that.
Okay,
yep.
North toward Mount Vernon. I would call it the train station. I think downtown ends at...
That's about right.
North Charles Theater is.
And roughly in Federal Hill goes back to Ford Avenue.
And I think West downtown ends at MLK.
Yeah, okay. A little bit. You get a little bit of the biopark. But yeah, exactly.
Okay, I see it as, you know, where the buildings are.
I think that's the most common definition people have for downtown.
Now, I don't know where it stretches south. It may end at the end of my street.
Well, we feel like
Ford,
it's been because
is
we use 1 mile
Hill
radius.
Downtown?
Yeah, well, in terms of our 1 mile radius, we had to use something that we could be objective.
Of course.
And compare ourselves to other cities. So it goes to Ford Avenue.
As opposed to a gerrymandered map, but that's political. That's different.
Exactly.
Different than a real map.
But if you look at that 1 mile radius, first of all, we compare ourselves to other cities throughout the country. And we are 11th in the country in terms of number of residents and 14th in number of employees. And we are.
In a 1 mile radius.
In the 1 mile radius. So basically, it's 2 miles, obviously, diameter from one end to the other. But it is strong. It is really, really strong. And then when you look at the demographics of the residents, 50% minority. And people don't understand that either. It's 50% minority. So this is exactly what people should be celebrating. This is what government should be celebrating and incentivizing. This is the kind of community we want, and not some of the segregated communities that we've had for decades.
But you're saying this is a wonderful topic, because it does come up from time to time with other guests in terms of what downtown should be and what the focus. Well, there was just an op-ed recently, and we'll talk more about it, that says I think you should be focusing again more on downtown. But what you're suggesting is what gets lost. It's not an either or, but what you're saying is there are far more residents, and to not think of this, and correct me if I'm not stating this properly, to not think of that 1 mile radius as also being part of a neighborhood and part of the community is a mistake.
Yes, absolutely. These are residents who vote. These are residents who pay taxes. They're just like anybody else, too. Yes, yeah, exactly. Especially the ones who have condos. They're paying
a lot of taxes. Well, I'm at the harbor, and you guys throw those waterfront park opportunities to go over, families, kids, always interesting things. But Harbor Place, at this point, is disappointing for all of us. Yeah. I was there the day it opened. Yeah, I took the bus, number 10 bus from East Baltimore in 1981. I always tell my wife I fell in the harbor, because I did, chasing the crab, right there by the Rusty Scupper. And
you survived.
You know, but I've lived down there for 2 decades now, and to me, I still walk through there, and I told Mary Miller this recently. We walked on a Friday night going over to Ruth's Chris to get dinner, and I heard 10, 15 different languages walking a couple hundred yards, just every language you can imagine. I travel the world, so I hear different languages. I'm like, that might be German, but it might be, you know... But you hear it, and you think to yourself, people are coming here looking for something. They're coming to my neighborhood because it's a world-famous, much like Lexington Market and Faithies, a world-famous place, and they're looking for something. Yeah. I don't know that they're finding it or not finding it, but I know on nights when the beautiful children are playing the bells from St. Veronica's, doing the Caribbean music, and on nights when there's a DJ there and there's kids and dogs and people, we love living at the Inner Harbor.
Yeah.
We love it. We love downtown Baltimore. Do we want it to be better? Absolutely. Could it be better? Sure. But I remember what it used to be when my mom took me down when I was a little boy. And I want 10 or 15 years from now that glass bridge over the harbor. You know, I want that vision for my city that I see when I travel the world.
You're right. Yeah, when you talk about visitors, they're craving authenticity, which we have, which is great.
Oh,
we've got
no
these
doubt
historic
about
buildings,
that.
And we've got this waterfront. The experiences, every day you can have a different experience in downtown. The variety of experiences is just phenomenal. But, you know, yes, another thing that people don't understand is that sometimes a private developer will let you down. And the current developer of Harbor Place has let us down. And that, there's not much the city can do about it, government can do about it, except to try to find new purchasers to take the place.
And we own the land, and we have some leverage.
Well, there's a lot of questions about the structure itself, right? Like, not only what should it be, and Lexington Market's going through a transition. Cross Street's going through a transition.
Right.
You know, I mean, well, the Broadway Market's going through a transition. it's time, and the next mayor and the next group of people need to really look at my neighborhood and say, what's it going to be in 2030 and 2035, not what was it in 1985, right?
Right. And it's interesting you brought that. All three of those markets I worked on when I was president and chair of the Public Markets Corporation, and I had a hard time.
I forgot Remington. Originally. Let's not. I will leave that out because that's beautiful too.
Right, oh, yeah, our house, absolutely right? Up there. It was a challenge 6 years ago getting some of the people who were on the board to think in a visionary way about those markets at all. And actually, we had to restructure the board to lead to some people who were more willing to realize that Cross Street Market had to be redone, Broadway and Lexington Market and Hollins Market. I mean, it took a lot to get to that.
They're neighborhood
point.
Anchors.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
We don't think of them like that because they weren't a mall that was built in the 80s that we grew. Because it's been here for 200 years, but people are walking behind us with grabbing groceries, everything, and we're in Lexington Market. My wife walked down to Cross Street Market and got a head of broccoli the other day, and she felt, we are a little bit of a food desert living in the harbor.
And it's why Nestor and I are so passionate about this other issue, Kirby. We talk about the difficulty of getting sometimes big food chains and whatever to locating neighborhoods. For many of the most vulnerable among us, these markets are their source. They are their supermarket. And the fact that right now in the state and in the federal government, they're denying people the ability to use their food stamps in these markets is actually immoral. And we know that the congressional delegation is aware of it. They're looking at it. They're outraged. That just
there's
doesn't
a lot
make,
of immoral things
it doesn't,
going on.
It doesn't make any sense. We are with Kirby Fowler, CEO of the downtown.
I'm in a good mood. I'm eating a Fabian's crab cake. It's almost gone.
Kirby
I've been
Fowler.
Chewing on it.
You did offer to share. Just
apologize. I didn't have breakfast this morning. You know,
the CEO of the downtown partnership. People are in their cars, Kirby. They hear all these alphabet organization, the different groups. Give us a Four Dummies tutorial of what the Downtown Partnership is.
Sure.
I'm waiting to hear this because I don't really know.
Okay, good, good.
This is going to be good.
We are an independent nonprofit. We are not a city agency. People sometimes have that confusion too. But we represent the stakeholders in downtown Baltimore. There's a couple different ways we can define stakeholders, but primarily we represent the property owners. There's 1,200 property owners in downtown, and we receive a surcharge from those property owners to provide services to assist the city. Oftentimes, we have to go beyond assisting and take the place of the city, unfortunately, in certain cases. But we supplement. We're supposed to supplement. We have a clean team. We've got a safety team. We've got a parks team. We got marketing, membership, events. We do everything.
And meet young people on the streets, on the corners, and greet us sometimes?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We have those. They're our ambassadors. Absolutely.
I've talked to some of those young people over in East Baltimore walking through downtown. And
But it's the private sector helping out the public. And by legislation, that was created. So that money has to be used for the core. And that's another area of confusion. People think, well, why can't just bring it out to other neighborhoods? Well, first of all, the tax dollars generated by downtown immediately go out to other neighborhoods because we barely get the infrastructure money we need in downtown. It's going elsewhere.
Probably disproportionately even.
Absolutely.
Correct?
It is. There are years where $0 have come to downtown in terms of capital, and under no scenario should that work. Under no scenario, just based upon the number of residents we have, under any objective calculus, there ought to be some investment every single year.
I like that you're fighting for the downtown resident. You and me, we're all right.
Yeah.
Great place to take our first break. We are at Fadley's. We're here with Kirby Fowler, CEO of the Downtown Partnership. We thank all of our sponsors at Jennings and State Fair here at Fadley's, Center Maryland. They make these conversations possible. Nestor, where are we today?
We're at Lexington Market. We're at Fadley's. We're going to be over at State Fair and Jennings sometime soon. Make sure you're checking out all of our work out in the Baltimore Positive Repository. Lots of mayor candidates and working on a forum in April. We've got lots of things going on. Back for more from Fadley's with Kirby Fowler talking about life experiences in the Downtown Partnership and the animals that I love so much. We're back for more right after this.